Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we give thanks for the scripture reading for this morning, and it's good to see you all here. Offer my welcome as well, and so glad to see you here on a dreary, rainy day. I never know who's going to show up on those kind of days, but I'm so glad you're here. And again, we welcome everybody online. I want to just say a word of thanks to the worship band. What an awesome job this morning. Wow. Sounds like Christmas, starting to look like Christmas. Thanks for all those who put up all the decorations this week and got it looking like that. I know Trella helped over, you've got the whole complex looking like Christmas. So thank everybody who's made that happen. It's good to have that feel with one, each other and be together as God's family this morning. As we have heard the reading of God's word, we now seek its meaning for our life today. And so I just want to take a moment to ask God's Holy Spirit to help us in that process. Pray with me. Lord God, we just offer now ourselves. We ask you to help us to open our minds, our hearts. As we give thanks for your word, God, we know that it is your word to us, not just something of the past, but is your word to us today. And there's something you want to say to us, God. So open our hearts, our minds to hearing that and to receiving it, to being transformed by the power of your word and the work of your Holy Spirit within us. I pray, God, that you will enable me to proclaim your word in a way that glorifies you, God, and lifts you up. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit come now. Be present with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, every generation has a where were you when moment, you know? Like, where were you when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon? Or where were you when you heard the news about JFK or Martin Luther King Jr. being killed? Or where were you when you heard about the Columbine shooting at the high school? Where were you on 9/11? You know? And some of those, I see some of the kids going like, well, it kind of predates your time. But I think we all now have one that we can share in common. Where were you when you heard about COVID-19 or the coronavirus pandemic that we're dealing with? Or better yet, where were you when 2020 hit us, right? Goodness. Moments like these are big moments because they change things. The culture shifts and our lives are no longer the same. They're changed forever. Unfortunately, many of those events that we kind of hear these changing events in life, they center around negative things such as catastrophes and tragedies, things that strike with no warning, that introduce a whole new element of uncertainty in our lives. I mean, you just take 2020, for instance. My goodness, the year 2020, what a year. Has there ever been a year more filled with more uncertainty than this year, at least in our lifetimes? Jeez. Now, this one has to rank up in the top 10 of unprecedented events. We've never used that word as much as we have used it. It's unprecedented events, unexpected happenings, uncertain times. It's just been quite a year. Now, you could probably write a sci-fi novel or a movie based on the headlines of 2020, right? Or at least the headlines maybe came straight out of a sci-fi thriller for that deal. But it's you know what we've gone through. It's just been crazy. We've had global pandemic. We've had economic recession. We've had mass unemployment. We've had political division like we've never seen. We've had cultural upheaval. We've had racial reckoning and unrest. We've had record wildfires, tornadoes, more hurricanes we can keep up with. Floods, am I missing anything? It just seems to go on and on, right? I had a flood in my house Thanksgiving morning. I said, 2020, what's the deal? You know, I'm not trying to bring us down or anything this morning. Quite the contrary, trying to bring us up. But this is the reality that we've been living with over the last year. It's been a hard year, a tough year. And if ever there's a year that we need Christmas, it's this year, isn't it? If ever there's a year that we need the hope found in Christmas, it is this year. If ever there's a year that we need Jesus Christ, my friends, it is this year. And as much as I'm ready to see 2020 in the rearview mirrors, I'm kind of glad that we have reached this point, the season of Advent, the days leading up to Christmas. Because the season of Advent is all about hope. It's all about hope. The word Advent literally means what we've heard in our Advent wreath reading. It's talking about the anticipation of a coming, an arrival. And so Advent has always traditionally been a time of waiting, a time of preparation, of expectation, anticipation, and longing. Now, unlike what we see at the shopping stores we go to or we see online these days, Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. Advent, rather, is a season that links the past, the present, and the future for us. For Advent offers us the opportunity to share in that ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah. And it's also a time for us to celebrate his birth and what that means for us today in the present. And yet it's also a time to begin to pay attention, to be alert for the second coming of Christ in the future. And so it's all of these things. Advent provides a time for us to look back, to celebrate the hope that was given in the birth of Jesus Christ to us, while at the same time, it looks to the future of that day when Christ will come again and make all things new and right in our world. So Advent is a time of hopeful, assured waiting. Far too often, I think our Christmases just get so busy. They just get so filled, frenzied, overwhelming busyness. We try to pack so much into this time of year with seasonal activities. The stores, they're peddling their Christmas merchandise, you know, even at the beginning of October. And I think we had a Black Friday in September this year. What's the deal? The gift-buying frenzy, it just starts earlier and earlier every year. And so what is supposed to be a season of peace quickly turns into a season of stress. But you know, Advent gives us an opportunity to change that, to at least change the outcome. For Advent is an opportunity for us to prepare our hearts. It's a time to focus on a far greater story than our own, which is the redeeming love of God through Jesus Christ, the gift of His Son. And it's not just a season that we try to pretend to be happy. It's not a season that we try to cover up the pain and the struggles that we've been experiencing over this past year. It is a season of digging deep into what it really means to have God come to us as Emmanuel, God with us. It's an opportunity to align our lives with God's presence more than the presence under the Christmas tree. So wherever you are on your 2020 anxiety level or uncertainty, or wherever you are in your spiritual life right now, I want to invite you to enter into this season of Advent. For in the midst of the craziness, in the midst of all the uncertainty and the pandemic we've been dealing with, we have been given a gift. We've been given the opportunity to rediscover Christmas again. And that's what we're going to try to do over the next 4 weeks as we begin this Advent journey together. We're going to be exploring what the real meaning of Christmas is by exploring the good news of Christ's birth and the Christmas messages that we have from hope, love, faith, peace, joy, all those things. And today, we're going to really focus on the subject of hope, discovering the hope of Christmas, which is something that we desperately need right now because we're living in very uncertain times. Every day, we don't know what to expect next. But to do this message of hope, I want to turn to that text we have this morning from the story of Simeon and Anna. So before we do that, I'll take a little backdrop here. I want to look at what was really going on in that time period. What was happening in the lives of the people back then? Because we think we have it bad today. But, you know, so did the people of Israel back in the biblical days. I mean, during the time of Jesus, they were a demoralized, defeated nation living under the harsh occupation of the Roman Empire. It was a harsh day to live back then. I mean, it was a time of conquest and brutality. Very difficult times. And it had been thousands of years since the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the calling out of God's people. It had been thousands of years that they had to go through conquest and defeats by their enemies, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, then the Greeks, and now the Romans. It's been generation after generation since they've heard that promise given from God that there's going to be a Messiah who will come and make all things right. And yet that promise from God to send a Messiah who would make all things right, that was more than just a happy thought that kind of went in and out of the Israelites' consciousness. This was their deepest hope. This was a hope that sustained them, that carried them through, that helped them to persevere through thousands of years of uncertain waiting and waiting. They clung to God's promise that was given to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where they were told, all people on earth will be blessed through you. They hung on to that. But you know, how long can hope survive? I mean, especially after years of world-dominating forces like the Greeks and the Romans who, you know, we're still being influenced by today. Could there possibly be any, you know, embers of hope smoldering anywhere after all that time? Well, from Luke's narrative of the Christmas story, the answer is yes. Because we hear this story in our text this morning. And I know we're accustomed to starting at the beginning of the story, where you hear the message of the angel telling Mary and Joseph they're going to have this baby who's going to be the Messiah. And then Jesus is born in the stable in Bethlehem. And then there's this angelic announcement to the shepherds about his birth. And we sing Silent Night and we roll the credits. I mean, that's how it normally goes. But Luke's account doesn't stop there with the Christmas narrative. He continues on, and that's where I really want to pick up. I want to pick up on the scene that happens after the birth of Jesus, which is the story of Simeon and Anna. For Simeon and Anna, I think were really sparks of hope for the people of Israel. Perhaps they were more like torches of hope for the people of Israel, because they had never given up. They had never given up on that expectation that God would come through and he would do what he promised he would do. They always held on to hope. In every fiber of their being, they believed this. And they were waiting every day for God's promise to be fulfilled. Now, both Simeon and Anna, we hear in this text, have lived long lives. They've been around a long time, and they've experienced many things in their lives. They've seen both the hardship of their people over the years, as well as the pain that they experienced in their own life. You take Anna, for instance. We're told that she had been a widow for decades, which in that culture was to be of the lowest of social status. And you kind of were uncertain about every day where even a meal was going to come from, or what was going to happen. Yet both of them remained faithfully devoted to God throughout it all. Every day they woke up expecting. Every day they woke up looking ready to see God at work and to see God do great things. Notice that neither Simeon nor Anna were the least bit surprised or uncertain when they see this baby Jesus and they recognize that's the promised Messiah. They weren't the least bit surprised by that. Almost everyone else in the Christmas story, you know, it took some convincing in order to get them to buy into the whole arrangement. I mean, for most of the other people in the Christmas story, you have to have an angel that shows up and announces the news to them to try to convince them that God is really doing this. I sometimes wonder maybe the reason God didn't send an angel to Simeon and Anna because they were so up in age that they might have had a heart attack if the angel just appeared to them, you know. I don't know. But I think it's really more than that. I think it's because God didn't really need to send an angel to them, these giants in the faith, because they were ready. They were tuned in. They were waiting. They were watching. They were listening. They were expecting. They had a hope that made them ready. Day after day, year after year after year, they faithfully served God. They faithfully waited. Even when they couldn't see it, they trusted that God was somehow at work in the world around them. Even when they were surrounded by hardship, even as time passed on and year after year they were getting older and older, they never gave up. They held on to hope. And because of this, they fostered and they fanned and infused new hope into the people around them, including Mary and Joseph. I mean, they were just trying to figure out this whole thing about what it meant to be earthly parents to this baby who's going to be the Messiah, God's son. And this is a way to give hope to them as well. And I think Simeon and Anna reveal some things about hope and some things about its power for us that we can glean from, we can apply to our life at a time when we desperately need the message of hope that Christmas brings. And the first thing I think that we see in this story is that hope sees beyond. Hope sees beyond. Hope is the fuel of faith, isn't it? Hope is the fuel of a promise, of possibilities, of dreams. Hope is that whisper of maybe, just maybe. Hope is that spark that finally ignites into a flame that burns. I think that's why we enjoy lighting our Christmas candles on Christmas Eve so much, because it reminds us of those words of the prophet Isaiah where he says, "The people walking in darkness, they've seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." With Simeon and Anna, they were living in that land of darkness. And their story reminds us that no matter what kind of season of darkness we may be living in, no matter how bleak and how hard this year has been for us, no matter what problems or struggles we're dealing with, their message to us is don't abandon hope. Don't abandon hope. For the message of Christmas is all about how hope is still alive. Even in our deepest pain, even in our most difficult struggles and our hopeless circumstances that we find ourselves in, hope is still alive. And hope has the power to dispel our darkness. It has the power to clear away the uncertainty around us. Like Simeon and Anna understood, hope is still alive because God is with us. You know, when God is with us, there's never a reason not to hope. We always have a reason to hope. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about holding on to the hope that God will come again, that God will fulfill his promise, and that someday he will have his work within us and we restore all of creation, all things will become new. And in verses 24 and 26, he says, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." In the same way, The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Paul says, hope that is seen is no hope at all. And who hopes for what they already have, right? You see, hope exists before its reality occurs. Hope always exists before that reality occurs. For instance, you can hope with all of your heart this morning that this $100 bill that I have in my pocket here, that I'm going to give to somebody this morning after we leave worship. You can think about that. You can hope for it. You can expect it. You can, kind of talk to yourself a little bit about believing that that's actually going to happen. You can say, hey, I'm gonna be richer when I leave this service today. I'm gonna be $100 richer. You can really hope in that. But as soon as I give you this $100, then hope is done, right? You don't have to hope anymore. I mean, there's no reason hoping for something you've already got, right? I hate to dash your hopes this morning. I hate to get your hopes up for something that's not really going to happen. You can hope all you want to that I'm going to give you that $100 bill, but that's not going to happen this morning. I'm just using it as an illustration, okay? Hope precedes our present reality. That's what I'm trying to help you to understand. Hope, by its very nature, exists in the uncertainty before. It exists in the midst of questions and doubt, and in that unclear sense of what is to come. Hope is the willingness to believe beyond what our current reality and circumstances are telling us. Hope sees beyond. It's like that verse we love to say in Hebrews 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I think that part of the verse, the beginning of verse 26, where Paul says this, it's really critically important, because in the same way he says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Because that really gets us to our second point, and that is that God is with us here, now, and always. Friends, the whole reason that we celebrate Christmas is because of its witness to the fact and the good news that God is with us. That's why we celebrate it. Because Christmas, you can be assured that God is always with you, that he sees your struggles. He sees whatever pain you're going through. He knows what you're facing in your life. And God is always with us. He's here, now, always. His presence is here. The hope that is rooted in Christmas is found in that good news that God is Emmanuel, that God is with us, and that God sees our struggles. And this hope that was given to us, a long time ago in the birth of Jesus Christ is a hope that we still have today. And that's not a hope that we are left to somehow achieve by our own efforts in the midst of terrible times in life. Quite the contrary. This is a hope that is filled and infused and infused within us by God's Holy Spirit. Especially in the times where we are the weakest. For when the faintest gleam of hope seems unattainable, it's out of our reach, it's so far in the distance. When we feel too weak to carry on ourselves anymore, when we feel that our grasp is slipping on even the ability to try to have hope, God's Spirit comes alongside of us. God's Spirit is with us to help restore our sense of hope by reminding us of God's faithfulness and reminding us of God's promises of what He will do for us. I think in times of difficulty, I don't know about you, but I find myself kind of led to God's Word. I just want to go get the Bible somewhere and just find something. And I think that's what God's Holy Spirit can do for us. God can lead us. His Spirit leads us into His Word, which reminds us of all the things that God has done for us and all the things that God has promised that He will do for us now and in the future. Our God, our Emmanuel, who is with us, has promised His people throughout history all these things. And those promises are ours to claim even today. We read things like in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And those beautiful words in Isaiah where he says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. And then those words in the psalm where he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with you. I am with you. Can't you just feel the hope in those words? We are never alone. Never alone. God will never forsake us. Even at our loneliest and our most hopeless times in life, God is with us. Christ came to show us that good news, that God is with us here, now, and always. And that hope, I think, inspires us. And that's why it's there for us. Hope inspires us to carry on. The Apostle Paul described the cycle of hope in this way. It's in Romans chapter 5. And he explains that because of Jesus, we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has given this to us. So, you know, Paul says that hope through God's Spirit does not disappoint us. It will not let us down. Instead, it gives us a new and a renewed, a growing sense of strength that goes beyond our confusion and our pain that we experience in this world. This inspiration that comes from hope, you know, I'm often inspired by stories that I see of people that exemplify that kind of hope. And there was a recent story that came out during the COVID-19 pandemic. And maybe you've heard the story. I don't know if you've heard about the guy named Captain Tom. About Captain Tom. It's a fascinating story. In the midst of all the doom and the gloom of the COVID pandemic, you have this elderly man who rises at a very unknown hero. I mean, just you never believed he was a very unlikely hero. Tom Moore is his name. Now he's called Captain Sir Tom Moore because he was actually knighted by the Queen of England after all this. And this is a 100-year-old man who single-handedly raised $40 million for the British healthcare system. He did it by walking 100 laps around his garden, 100 laps for each year that he's been alive, 100 years. Now, it started out as a challenge where his son-in-law challenged people to give $1 every lap that he made. And so people started getting this, but his daughter actually posted it on a online charity site, and it went viral. And it just, you know, all of a sudden, everybody was watching it. He became this national hero. Here you have this World War II veteran gripping his walker, walking around his garden. He's dressed in his navy blue military blazer, and he's now become a national hero. He's inspiring people all across the world. It's just an amazing story. And he says that now he wants to travel the world after this pandemic is over. I wish I would. I hope I'm near that spry when I get near 100 years, if I ever make it that far. But there's a great lesson of hope in this story because he tells the reporters this. He says, the first step was the hardest. After that, I got into the swing of it. I just kept on going. The first step was the hardest. Isn't that true of most things in life? And it's certainly true when it comes to hope. It can be so hard at times to lift our downcast, tear-filled eyes to see, to look at any kind of glimmer of hope when we feel just swallowed up in our pain. It can seem so difficult to reach out to the outstretched hand of God, trying to help us when we're in the midst of overwhelming, you know, challenges in life. It can feel just impossible at times to find hope, to take that first step toward hope. But when you remember the promises of God that you find in His Word, and you take the time to look at it and read it, you find new strength. When you accept the power of hope that comes through God's Holy Spirit, you find new inspiration. And when you focus on the hope that is embodied in the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you find new strength to take that first step and then to take another step and another step, and you keep walking and maybe you even go running. So the question this morning is, what is your next step of hope? What is your next step of hope this Advent season? A lot of people want to try to build their hope on being able to see what's in the future. I mean, we want to know how the story ends. We want to jump to the end of the story. We want to have that crystal ball. We want to know what it's going to turn out like. And that's what we want to base our hope on. But life just doesn't work that way. Knowing the future is not a privilege that we have been granted. But in Christ, we get a glimpse of how that ultimate story does end. For in Christ, we get a glimpse that the brokenness of this world, the pain that we're experiencing now, will not have the final word. God has the final word. And God will come again to make all things right. So the invitation today is to take a step toward hope this Advent season. In these days of waiting, in these days of preparation, I pray that you will experience the hope that is found in the arrival and the birth of Jesus. I hope that you will draw upon the hope that is found in God's fulfillment of his promise to send us a Messiah, a long-awaited Messiah. He did that. He fulfills his promises. And may you focus on the hope of God's continued work that is around all around us. That belief, that hope, that trust that there's going to come a day when God will make all things right. He will set everything where it needs to be. And there's going to not even be a need for hope anymore because we will have received it. And no matter what life is throwing at you right now, I hope that you experience the hope that is found in God's Holy Spirit within you. That strengthens you, that empowers you, that allows you to carry on. It enables you to take that first step. I pray that for you this season. Let us pray together right now. Oh, gracious God, in the midst of this season, we have so many things that we try to do, we try to cram into it. And God, right now, we desperately need the message of Christmas in our world. And unfortunately, Lord, we try to find a sense of peace, a sense of joy, a sense of love in all the wrong places. We try to fill it with things that don't fulfill us, they don't last. And by the end of the season, we're just saying we're glad it's all over. Help us, God, not to make that mistake this year. Help us to turn to you, to place our trust and our hope in you. It's kind of dark times for us, Lord, in the world we're living in. And yet, you're at work all around us if we just have eyes to see, if we have hope to hold on to. So, Lord, I pray that you would give everyone who is watching this morning, everyone who is here, that assurance that you are with them, that you love us. You sent your Son to die for us and give us hope beyond anything we can imagine. And so, God, we place that hope in you today. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.